Hello and welcome back to The Download. This is Mark Caro here with Chris Jones.
Hi, everybody.
That's Baby Driver. That was one of the most popular sort of surprise, or not such a surprise, hit of the summer. It's a movie that was going to come out later in the year, and I think it did so well at film festivals like South by Southwest, I think it was, that they moved it up to the summer. It did great. It was a popular movie. And now we have the festival season upon us. You have Cannes in May, you have South by Southwest in March, you got Sundance way back in January, but now it's the dense pack. You have Telluride, you have Toronto, you have Venice in between. And this is really the time where, if you're paying attention to this sort of thing, which I do, do you, Chris Jones?
Yeah, like, a little
bit. You sort of look at, it's like when you start hearing about, these are the movies that are going to be the ones that you're going to want to see at the end of the year. Like La La Land comes out of this.
Right.
Brokeback Mountain
in
other years.
This is the A-list moment.
This is the moment where you've sort of gotten all that summer junk out of your system, and now it's time for the nourishment. And we have on the line with us Jeff Wells, of the Hollywood Elsewhere blog. It's hollywood-elsewhere.com. I find this a compulsively readable blog. I have been reading him for so many years and so many different incarnations, and it's exciting to have you on. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, man. It's appropriate, being from Los Angeles, that I am not at my desk calmly referring to my notes and my laptop as I speak to you, but I'm on Beverly Boulevard negotiating traffic. So this will be a really interesting.
Well, if you burst into song, we will completely understand and we will enjoy it even. So, you know, I know the sequel to La La Land is going to star you, and I hope it starts filming tonight.
And remember, all that love that was shown to Baby Driver, South by Southwest is a notoriously easy festival when it comes to genre stuff.
Right.
It's very geek heavy, and if you show them something that's got a little energy, a little verve, a little edge, they go nuts for it.
Are you trying to say it's dominated by geek space? It's a geek fest? Is that kind of the...
But there is that phenomenon of the festival hit, and you and I have seen that at Sundance especially, where everyone goes crazy for a movie up in the thin air, and then when it opens it's like but Baby Driver really did deliver on that enthusiasm, don't you think?
Yes, it did, until the last 15 minutes or so, then it absolutely lost its mind and went off the rails.
Well, it did the action movie thing.
It was insane. I hated it but I was so into it. I loved that it was basically a bank robbing musical that really felt like it had something new to say.
It was really had its own
style. I was really into it, and then it blew itself up at the end. So.
Well, it does do that action movie thing where it goes on too long and the bad guy keeps coming back. And it is like the sort of, I find that with a lot of movies. I mean, Wonder Woman had that too. I really enjoyed Wonder Woman. But sometimes you're like, okay, now here are the obligatory beats they have to have in this movie, even though the movie is sort of showing how it's not really one of those movies. It still has to have it's really one of those movies moments, especially toward the end.
You feel like you're in prison. Like, here we go. We're straitjacket. We have to go to the thing that they all believe they have to deliver. Because the hardcore genre fans want this kind of thing at the end. So the big explosions, the mano a manos, all that stuff that we've seen 10,000 times has to happen. So it's a shame, but that's the way the machine, if you will, is made. Hollywood's like that.
So for like a real movie fan, how was the summer? Was it a good summer or was it a bad summer?
There are no good summers. Something you get through, and then it's over, and thank God, and then things start to happen with the Venice and particularly Telluride. And
What was the best movie of the summer in your mind?
Boy, you tell me. I don't know.
You like Dunkirk a lot.
Dunkirk.
You like The Big Sick.
Yes, I did like that. I was actually very pleased with that. In fact, that's one of the few movies I would say this year that I've seen it three times, and it actually got a little bit better each time. I wasn't doing cartwheels when I first saw it, but I liked it. And then the second time, I went, hey, that was a little better than I remember.
Wait, you're talking about Big Sick?
Yeah, Big Sick.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that a lot. I didn't enjoy that it was took place in Chicago and obviously was not filmed here. And then the whole thing was, hey, let's get out of Chicago. but of course it's a true story, so I can't really deny it. But I enjoyed it a lot.
I kind of felt that she was a little too hard on him. I don't think it's exactly a state secret that guys who are part of Middle Eastern families, they're very beholden to traditions, and the mothers really run things as far as the perspective, wives are concerned. It's a very deeply embedded thing. So it's not exactly a betrayal to have entertained, gone through the motions of meeting women under the guise of your mother, you know. So it's not I thought she got too angry and she wouldn't give it up. But other than that, it was a very good show.
Yeah. Well, people in movies don't conform to how we want them to behave necessarily. They're flawed in their own ways.
So, I'm dying to know. So obviously it's coming to fall, right? So the summer that you don't like is about to disappear. And we're getting into this, as Mark says, this prime movie going season. So come Oscar time. So what are the movies, right, that we have not yet seen here in Chicago, that we've not had the chance to see, that you think are going to be, you know, there nominated for the best movie Oscar? What are the hottest films? If you were to say, okay, right now, I'm going to stake my considerable reputation on this, what are the movies that we're going to be talking about, let's say, in December? What would you say they are?
Without a doubt, it's going to be one of them is going to be Luca Guadagnino's Call Me By Your Name, which was a huge hit at Sundance last January. It was, if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes, it's got 100% rating.
Yeah.
It is.
What's it about? What's it about? What's it about that movie?
It's a gay love story set in northern Italy, but it's not so much a gay love story. It's a kind of a bi thing, and it's not really so much a love story as it is a sensual kind of dream trip in northern Italy with wonderful food and sunlight and swimming and. It makes you feel like you're in northern Italy yourself, laying back.
Very, very
engaging, and it has a wonderfully touching finale that will probably result in Michael Stolberg getting a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
One of the things I really enjoy about your blog, which is, again, Hollywood-Elsewhere.com, we're on with Jeff Wells on WGN Radio Chicago with me, Mark Caro, and there, Chris Jones. Yep. One of the things I really enjoy about it is that you will see these things at festivals and give really an immediate response to how you reacted to it, how other people reacted to it. And that was a festival film also where I remember you were like, oh, I'm over the moon on this one, right?
Yeah.
Sundance? Is this a mainstream film, Jeff? Is this a film that's like you say it's going to be? Obviously, you think it's going to be an Oscar contender. Is it going to do well? Is it a film that's got broad appeal?
What you mean is, are ticket buyers going to go for
right?
It? Are middle of the road people going to go for
yes?
It? And that's the question mark. I don't think it's too gay. I think it's gay. What that means. It means it's kind of gayish. But it's not. It
right.
Certainly doesn't hit you over the head with it.
Right.
It goes easy.
Right.
And I didn't think. You know. Now I know a couple of guys roughly my age, which is to say somewhat, leaning towards boomerish age, and they kind of had. They thought it was a little too strong for them. I didn't think so. I thought it was just. It was more about the taste of wine and apples and peaches and what it's like to swim in a pond, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's not a sensual thing, but it's maybe older guys, maybe popcorn eaters are going to have maybe a little bit of it.
All right. So what else? Come on. So that's one. That's on my list now. So what else is going to be competing?
Woody Allen's film Wonder Wheel. The word is, and this is from the people who have seen it within the prism of the New York Film Festival, is that it's. Every four or five films, he really hits one, hits a long ball.
Yeah.
It's apparently one of those four or five, maybe.
And you wrote that Jim Belushi is getting hyped for that one.
That's what definitely came from two people.
Chicago's very own.
They even said that Jim Belushi is stronger, or the one that you remember more than Kate Winslet, who everybody had been saying, well, she, that looks like a great performance.
What's it about? Like, so what's the movie about? What's this Woody Allen, this hot Woody Allen movie then that he's going to come, Woody Allen's going to come roaring back with?
Kate is married to Jim Belushi. It's the early 50s, Coney Island area, Brooklyn. And she is having an affair with Justin Timberlake, who's younger than she. and she's really in love, and it's the only thing that gives her life any real, any you know, force and dimension and vivacity. And what happens is that she starts to, he starts to drop her and fall in love with somebody else, wow. and she falls apart. And Jim Belushi has to kind of weather the storm of his wife having, you know, been unfaithful.
So he's kind of a, he's kind
he's
of
standing
the
in for the rest
guy.
Of us who would lose their wife to Justin Timberlake. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Timberlake could cause problems for a lot of us, I think.
Yeah, what else? Come on, that's good. That's two. What else? This is great. You know, this is great. You're doing great radio for us here. What else? What are the other hot movies?
The big excitement, in fact, the one that's going to open tomorrow night at Venice, is Alexander Payne's Downsizing, which is a futuristic kind of a Fritz Lang-like tale in which people have agreed in the future to have themselves reduced to the size of a pinky finger. That way, their money will go a lot farther.
Wait! A pinky finger, like the like a little. So it's "Honey, I Shrunk Myself" kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh,
they're literally being downsized, Chris.
Like 18 inches.
They're all becoming hobbits.
They're shrunk down to 2.5 to 3 inches tall, and the money. Say you have $10,000 in your bank account. If you're only the size of your pinky finger, that money will be much more potent for you, and you'll be able to live much better and have a great, much richer lifestyle. So
the whole world is people of this size? So this is sort of some people are shrunk and some people are full size?
If some people decide they want to because it's advantageous, they're going to leave a much smaller carbon footprint.
Right.
I saw a couple movies over the weekend, and I was watching the trailers, and it's like I knew that I was coming in on the season because I was like, oh yeah, I want to see that movie. I want to see that movie. So I saw a trailer for Suburbicon, which is the one that George Clooney directed that is based on, I think it was originally a Joel and Ethan Coen screenplay, right?
In fact, if you look at that, what the setup there is, it's somewhat similar to Fargo. They kind of wrote Fargo in 85, I think it's when they wrote the script, or 86, and then they remade it as Fargo. But it's got a lot of the same elements.
So Matt Damon is Bill Macy, basically. And then Oscar Isaac is Francis McDormand?
That's exactly it, as far as I can see, yes.
So
and
this
I
is...
From a guy that, this I heard from a guy who saw it last summer and told me all about it.
And liked it?
Yeah, he thought it was okay. He thought the second half wasn't as strong as the first, but, you know, that's hearsay.
It's
going to be reviewed in detail as of tomorrow night.
So we got four. That's four, right? We got the Woody Allen. We got the Shrunk, Honey, I Shrunk, I'm a Pinky Finger. What else am I missing? There's the...
I'm looking forward to Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri by Martin McDonagh, who's a playwright,
yeah.
You know.
Have you seen that?
The word on that one is that it's good, but not necessarily knocked down great.
Oh, that trailer's knocked down great, though, don't you think?
Yeah, no, it looks like I want to. I mean, she's going to be wonderful just alone for her performance. But I just have heard, and I really want to stress that I don't know anything. I'm just telling you that what's coming across is good, but don't do, you know, not necessarily cartwheel great.
Right. So what is the Oscar goes to which movie?
Oh, well, I haven't mentioned the Spielberg film. Which
oh, yeah, go on. Give us that.
Yeah,
give us that
Pentagon
one. Give us the full story on that one. Come on.
Well, that's the story, basically, of Katharine Graham, the publisher of the Washington Post back in 71, who was kind of a caretaker publisher, and she was reluctant to really exert any control or any guidance, and she got caught up, along with Ben Bradley and all the other senior people at the Post, in the Pentagon Papers thing, and after the New York Times published, they also wanted to publish, the Post did, and they were challenged by the Nixon administration, and it wound up going to the Supreme Court. So it's basically about a woman who is reluctant to be a professional, to be a publisher with a serious journalistic backbone, and she grows a backbone, if you will, over the course of the year.
And who's, right. Who's in that?
Hanks and Streep, right?
Played by Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Meryl Streep is Katharine Graham.
So this is
very high prestige. Yeah. I'll be curious how the New York Times responds to this, though, because there's this feeling that the New York Times was actually, you know, look, the Washington Post had Watergate, but the New York Times had the Pentagon Papers. And now here's Steven Spielberg giving the Pentagon Papers to the Washington Post also. So this is going to be more controversial in journalistic circles, I think, than Spotlight was.
Well, as I said, it's glorious and triumphant thing to post it in being the second paper to publish the newspaper. It's about what Katharine Graham went through.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that must humanize it. But it's like, it's interesting, these films, you know, we journalists are kind of, we're kind of reliant on Hollywood every year or two with Spotlight and whatnot to sort of venerate the role of the journalist and to remind people that, you know, without great newspapers like the Post and the Times and the Globe, that none of these, you know, these past corruptions would never have come to light. And Hollywood is clearly sort of in a sympathetic mode toward journalists, right, Joe?
Yeah. I mean, you're
breaking up a little bit there. You got to drive into a better part of the valley or wherever you are. But I do appreciate, but it makes it more authentically LA. Yes.
I've been just thinking to myself that apart from the Oscar cavalcade, I think that a lot of people are going to be talking about and want to see Our Souls at Night. It's called the Robert Redford, Jane Fonda.
Oh, yeah.
Romance. And yeah, that's going to be it. And it's also, that'll be screening on Friday, this coming Friday, and the reviews will be out the same day. And I hear that's pretty good. There's no problems with that, and it's actually quite well performed, and it's quite likable. So I don't know if it's going to be, A-plus reviews or whatever, but I think it's going to be well-liked. And I think, you know, there's kind of a thing about wanting to see those two again because they've been in three movies previously. They weren't romantically paired in The Chase, but they were romantically paired in Barefoot in the Park and Electric Horses. So this is a kind of a nice closing act for them, if you will.
I think there's a real feeling also of, you know, people wanting to see Robert Redford get his due. I mean, I thought he was wonderful in All Is Lost and was disappointed he didn't get the nomination for that. But he's done so much for independent film. And frankly, independent film has come to really dominate the Oscars anyway. I could definitely see him, you know, if he has a performance that is, you know, really credible and it's one of those years where they're not going to give it to someone else, obviously, I could definitely see him in the running if he pulls it off. Don't you think?
Yes, except that I hear it's more of an easy goes down easy movie with very human and resonant feelings that touch you, rather than something that really amounts to something that's really, you know, top grade.
Would you put On Golden Pond in that category too?
Yes, I would actually. I didn't mind that film at all. I mean, I didn't. I would never call it a great film, but I thought it was actually a pretty appealing film, particularly Henry Fonda's performance, given that I think that was his last role, as I remember.
Yeah. Right. Is there a movie, hey Jeff, is there a movie that Hollywood's going to lose its shirt on that everyone's like spending a ton of money on that you think is just going to tank and just going to cause people to lose their jobs and be upset? And is there a big disaster waiting for us in the fall, do you think?
I don't think there's anything that's really rock'em sock'em. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't happen to be that kind of year.
Yeah.
Maybe, possibly The Greatest Showman, as far as people that just want to have a good time.
That's the Hugh Jackman film?
Yeah, as P.T. Barnum, and that's a full-out musical, more in the traditional mode. It's not a La La Land type musical.
Right.
It's the kind of thing that maybe Mervyn LeRoy could have directed back in the 50s.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of...
iffy? You know, you're iffy on that? You're iffy on it?
I shouldn't say iffy. I know that it looks and sounds great, and the presentation at CinemaCon last March was first rate, and everybody came away thinking, well, that's going to be something. That's going to be a major film that people are going to get very excited. So in terms of like people saying, wow, I really like that one. Probably one of those films, maybe.
He was tweeting about it. I follow Hugh Jackman on Twitter, and he was all about it today, in fact. He was kind of, you know, and the other thing about P.T. Barnum, I guess these great aphorisms about, you know, life and man, you know, maybe, I don't know, but it sounds like it's not. You sound not entirely convinced.
It just looks square.
Yeah, he doesn't see it. So, Jeff, where are you going to be for, you know, in the next coming weeks?
Yeah, I also think you got to watch out for Roman Israel, Roman J. Israel Esquire, which is a Denzel Washington drama, which is going to be. They haven't officially announced it, but it's going to be at Toronto, I believe.
So, are you going to Telluride, Jeff?
Yes, I am. I'm leaving tomorrow.
And then are you going to Toronto also, or just Telluride, you just get everything that you need?
Toronto directly after Telluride.
All right. So, well, we are looking forward to reading you in HollywoodElsewhere.com, Hollywood-Elsewhere.com. Again, it's like you could get on there multiple times a day, and you get the best comments boards, too. You just get these strings, and sometimes people are... you know, poking at you. Sometimes people are praising you, but it's a very lively community that you've created over there at HollywoodElsewhere.com. So keep
the back and forth is what I really love about that, about writing it. And I love the arguments and I love the put downs, the whole thing. Oh, but one more thing.
Okay.
Guillermo del Toro's best film in a long time. It's supposedly called The Shape. It is called The Shape of Water, but it's supposedly a really exceptional film, and it has a superb performance, I'm told, by Sally Hawkins, who's basically doing a Jane Wyman and Johnny Belinda. No dialogue at all.
Oh, wow.
All right. Looking forward to that. We will keep reading you, Jeff Wells, Mark Caro, and Chris Jones on The Download. We'll be right back after this.